Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 10th, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're in 1 John chapter 5, and we are in a very, very important paragraph on prayer. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, the corrected translation says, "And this is the confidence." Now, the only believers that have confidence when it comes to prayer are those who are making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. They are fulfilling the mandate to keep on being filled with the Spirit. They're obeying the mandate and fulfilling the mandate to keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit and not carrying out the lust patterns of the sin nature. They are fulfilling the mandate to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those believers are the ones with confidence in prayer. They pray consistently, they pray faithfully, and it's a result of their spiritual growth. They have confidence when they go to prayer. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, according to His will. You see, if you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, if you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you know the will of God because the will of God's revealed in the Word of God. So we have according to His will. If we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us. In fact, when we know that He hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the requests which we have asked of Him. The key here, verse 14, two keys. And this is the confidence we have before Him. And if we ask anything according to His will, confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has grown up to spiritual adulthood. Confidence is a virtue that is manifested toward God. Confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowledge of God's will. And therefore, effectiveness in prayer must relate to knowing the will of God. 1 John 5:14 and 15 is a marvelous prayer promise for the believer who has grown up in grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This believer has attained spiritual adulthood. The most effective prayer life begins in spiritual adulthood, because now the believer has a thorough understanding of the will of God, and his prayers comply with the will of God. Until the believer attains spiritual adulthood, his prayers will be semi-effective at best. Prayer, then, is virtue dependent. And therefore, when you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and that is to have virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. That's why we're here. Virtue, love. When virtue, love is brought to completion in your heart, it includes three parts. First of all, personal love for God the Father. Now, where are all your prayers? Precisely correct procedure for prayer. All prayers are directed to God the Father. When you have personal love for God the Father, when you love God the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, well, you want to talk to the person you love. And you love the Father. And this is the great motivational virtue. When you have personal love for God the Father, that will motivate you to pray day after day after day, consistently and faithfully, because of your love for God the Father. And that will motivate you to have impersonal love for all. And that's the key to intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is praying for others, including unbelievers, believers that you've never known, and believers you do know. Impersonal love for all. That's the great functional virtue. But first of all, you have a motivation. Motivation that comes from God the Father. Personal love for God the Father motivates you to have impersonal love for all. Fantastic intercessory prayer for others. And third, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So when you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that is when your prayers will be powerful and effective, and will accomplish much. And it'll be something you look forward to every day. You look forward to praying. But only after you have this fantastic virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You want to pray, you look forward to pray, and your prayers are powerful and effective, and they accomplish much. The great power in intercessory prayer is impersonal love for all. And what motivates you to have impersonal love for all? Your personal love for God the Father. The promise to the believer in spiritual adulthood is also found in John 15:7, which says, if you abide in me, which means if you're living the spiritual life and my words abide in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. When you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Because by that time, you will know the will of God. And you will have enough divine viewpoint thinking to know how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. And one of the signs of spiritual adulthood is your devotion to prayer in your life, consistently and faithfully. Romans 12, 9 to 16, 1 Peter 2, 5, your royal priesthood and offering the spiritual sacrifices of prayer, thanksgiving to God. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. So that, and we haven't finished this paragraph on prayer. Now we come to verse 16, and in verse 16 we have a limitation on prayer. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. This is the conditional particle aeon plus the aorist active subjunctive of the verb horao plus the indefinite pronoun tis plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article plus the genitive singular of autos. And then we have the present active participle of hamartano combined with the accusative singular of hamartia. And then a very special phrase, the negative may with the preposition pros plus the accusative of thanatos. Now the conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive, that introduces a third class condition. If you have a plus the indicative, that's a first class condition. We have aeon plus the subjunctive. That introduces a third class condition. The third class condition is the condition of possibility. Maybe you will see this. Maybe you will not. This is not something that occurs every day. And so you translate this if. And then the indefinite pronoun tis means anyone, someone, somebody. And then the verb horao, which is a verb that literally means to see, to catch sight of, to notice. The subject of the verb horao is a believer. And this believer is a believer who is living the spiritual life. He's making good decisions in his life, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And therefore, he has a very powerful and effective prayer life. Intercessory prayer is very important to the spiritually adult believer. He wants to help a fellow believer who is sinning and living in Satan's cosmic system. He wants to help him by praying for him. This is not gossiping. This is not slandering. This is not maligning or judging him. This is virtue. Intercessory prayer for this sinning believer. And what are you praying? You're praying that he might come to his senses and become aware that he has a problem. And then we have adelphos, which is the technical term in the New Testament scriptures for a fellow believer, brother, fellow believer. And then the intensive pronoun autos used for the third person, personal pronoun, his. So the corrected translation so far says, if anyone has seen his fellow believer, and then we have a very special phrase, hamartano, the verb, and hamartia, the noun. Hamartano. H-A-M-A-R-T-A-N, long O. Hamartano. Let's get a couple of points here. First of all, one, in classical Greek, hamartano meant to miss the mark. That's classical Greek. It meant to miss the mark. Two, in Koine Greek, the Greek of the New Testament, hamartano means to transgress, to do wrong, to sin. Three, it means to sin against God. When you sin, what have you done? You've missed the mark of God's absolute righteousness. God is holy. The holiness of God is made up of his absolute righteousness and his perfect justice. And when you sin, you miss the mark of God's absolute righteousness. Four, the believer is hamartanoing and hamartia. That is, literally, he's sinning a sin. However, point five, that is a Greek idiom that is correctly translated committing a sin. So we have corrected translation. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, and that doesn't mean you seen it with your eyes, you know, like you're following people around and checking on them and things like that. It just you become aware of it. You become aware of it. So if anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin. And then we have a very special phrase here. Me prosthanatos. I'll put that up here. Just the way it looks in the Greek. Me prosthanatos. Now, me is the negative, M long E. This is the preposition pros, P-R-O-S. This is the noun thanatos, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Now, the negative me is no or not. The preposition pros literally means face to face with. Face to face with. And thanatos, that's the noun death. So literally, this phrase, me prosthanatos, means not face to face with death. It's again a Greek idiom that should be translated not terminating in death. Not terminating in death. So, corrected translation, if anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, that is the sin unto death. One. Now, every member of the human race sins. We all sin. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, we all sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the absolute righteousness of God. We all sin, whether we're believers or whether we're unbelievers. Every member of the human race sins. 2, all mankind is born, physical birth, in spiritual death. At the moment of physical birth, we are born physically alive and spiritually dead. Three, the imputation of Adam's sin to the genetically formed sin nature at physical birth results in all mankind committing personal sins. The imputation of Adam's sin to the genetically formed sin nature at the moment of physical birth results in all mankind committing personal sins. Four, the emphasis in our verse is that every believer in Jesus Christ commits sin. All believers. Now you're here, I take it, most of you, if not all of you, you're all believers in Jesus Christ. And I know, and I'm going to, from the Word of God, you all sin. Every one of you. And even Pastor Olson, I sinned once 30 years ago. No. Even Pastor Olson sinned. The greatest believers of all time, the Apostle Paul sinned. Moses sinned. Every believer sins. We all sin. So, the emphasis in this verse is that all believers in Jesus Christ, every single believer in Christ, commit sin. Five, and just because you sin does not mean you're going to die. It doesn't mean you're going to die under maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. So just because you sin does not mean you're going to die, the sin unto death. Six, the sin unto death is the result of prolonged residence in Satan's cosmic system. It means you get out of fellowship with God, you get into Satan's cosmic system, and you live your life there making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And the result of that, well, you go through, see, God doesn't want you to crash and burn. God loves you. Because God loves you, He doesn't want you to crash and burn. So He spanks you because He loves you. God spanks us because He loves us. And He starts out with self-induced misery and then warning discipline. If you don't learn from that, intensive discipline, if you don't learn from that, well then, you come under dying discipline. Maximum divine discipline, and you will die the sin unto death. And it's from discipline from God. So just because you sin does not mean you're going to die the sin unto death. The sin unto death is the result of prolonged residence in Satan's cosmic system. Seven, every decision you make is either a good decision or a bad decision. Every decision you make is either a good decision or a bad decision. Eight, good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills increases your options for greater decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills increases your options for greater decisions. However, point 9, bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system results in running out of options. You will run out of options, and that's the sin unto death. Bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system results in you running out of options. And that means the sin unto death. Ten. The believer making good decisions to live the spiritual life, he still sins, but he keeps short accounts with God. He uses God's problem-solving device of rebound right away and gets right back into fellowship with God, right back into the filling of the Spirit, right back into his spiritual life, and then he gets up and moves on toward the objective, which is the ultimate objective, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. So the believer making good decisions to live the spiritual life, he still sins, but he keeps short accounts with God, and he uses the problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and gets back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, his spiritual life, and then he gets up and moves on toward the objective. Spiritual maturity, virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, and glorifying God to the maximum in the short time that we're here. And we're here just a short time. So the corrected translation so far says, if anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, not me prothanatos, not terminating in death, the sin unto death. And then we have, we always start with the King James, he shall ask and he shall give him life. Not death, but life for them that sin not unto death. And we have the same phrase repeated, me prothanatos. So we have here the future active indicative of the verb aiteo, plus the conjunction kai with the future active indicative of didomi, plus the accusative singular of zoe with the dative singular of autos, plus the articular present active participle of hamartano, and then our phrase, me prothanatos, is repeated. First of all, the verb, one of the verbs for prayer in the New Testament, aiteo. A-I-T-E long O. Aiteo. Now this is the same verb we had in verse 14 and verse 15. The two great verses on prayer, verses 14 and 15. Now we have it again. So one, aiteo means to ask for, to make a request. To ask for, to make a request. Two, aiteo is one of the main Greek verbs for prayer. One of the main Greek verbs for prayer. Three, in this verse, 1 John 5:16, aiteo is used for intercessory prayer, praying for a fellow believer. So in our verse, Iteo is used for intercessory prayer, praying for a fellow believer. The future tense is the gnomic future, which expresses a tendency or a likelihood that something will happen. The gnomic future of Iteo puts the spotlight on the spiritually mature believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The spiritually mature believer's personal love for God the Father motivates him to consistently and faithfully pray for fellow believers. This is impersonal love for all, manifested in intercessory prayer. The active voice, the winner believer living the spiritual life, performs the action of having consistent and faithful intercessory prayer for fellow believers. The indicative mood is declarative. This is reality in the life of the winner believer. Point four, when you see a believer commit a sin which will not terminate in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, you can pray for him. That's God wants you to pray for him. That is a part of your intercessory prayer for fellow believers. When you see a believer commit a sin that will not terminate in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death, you can pray for him. Five, your intercessory prayer for that believer cannot force his volition. You cannot force that believer's volition, nor God's volition. So how do you pray then? You become aware that there's a fellow believer that is committing a sin, and he's out of fellowship with God. He's living in Satan's cosmic system. How do you pray for that individual? Well, you go right to the Father and you say, Father, I pray that you'll do whatever it takes, Father, in this believer's heart. So he comes to his senses. He comes to his senses and rebounds and gets back into fellowship with you. Gets back into the spiritual life. Gets back into the filling of the Spirit. And I pray, Father, for him. He'll make those good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and glorify you to the maximum in the rest of his life. But what you pray, you don't get on the telephone and call all the other believers you know and say, I just telling you this so you can pray effectively. No. What's going on there? Judging, slandering, maligning, that's what you're doing. And when you do that, you're in the cosmic system. When you judge, slander, and malign a fellow believer, you're in the cosmic system, and you will come under triple compound discipline. And you're the one that's going to be approaching the sin unto death. You never, ever go there. When you do that, who are you imitating? You're imitating Satan. You know, Satan has access to God. He goes up to God and, you know, he accuses believers. He has a file. Satan has a file on every one of you. Some of you, the file's a lot longer than others. He has a file on each one of you. You see, he has a whole army of fallen angels, and he's got some G2. A whole system of G2 intelligence, and these demons are out, and they got a file on you and you and you and you and you and you. And then he goes up before the Lord, and he accuses you before the Lord. Day after day after day, he is accusing believers. He even accused the greatest believer on the face of the earth. He went up and accused Job. He accused Job. And in fact, the father said, have you considered my servant Job? He's the greatest believer on the face of the earth. And what did he do? Satan accused the greatest believer on the face of the earth. He said, yeah, well, sure, you put a wall around him, protect him, but you take away all those things and Job will curse you to your face. That's accusing. Accusing Job, the greatest believer on the earth. So the father said, all right, then take away all of... He was the wealthiest person on the earth too. Take it all away. Satan took it all away, but he was 100% wrong. Job did not curse God. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Satan went before the Lord a second time. And the father says, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him in all the earth. And you, even after you took all of his blessings away from him. And Satan says, yeah, but skin for skin, you take away his health. You take his health away from him, he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said, all right, take his health away from him, but don't touch his life. So he took his health away from him. And what did Job do? He honored the Lord. He did not sin one time. He didn't curse the Lord to his face. So Satan has a file. He accuses the greatest believers on the earth. He has a file on each one of you. And he goes before the Lord and accuses. So you see, when you judge and slander and malign, who are you imitating? You're imitating the ruler of planet Earth, Satan himself. That's who you're imitating. You're imitating Satan himself. You are judging, slandering, maligning, and you're not imitating God. So don't ever, the worst thing you can ever get into is mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue and judging and slandering and maligning. At that point, you're no different than Satan, the ruler of planet Earth. So when you see a believer commit a sin which will not terminate in maximum divine discipline, you can pray for him. Your prayer cannot force his volition nor God's volition. Point six, your prayer must be that he comes to his senses. He comes to his senses. Awareness. And aware that he has a problem. You pray that he becomes aware that he has a problem. Seven, you don't gossip, you don't malign, you don't judge, you simply pray that he will come to his senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life, and make goodness and not go right back into Satan's cosmic system fulfilling the lust patterns of his sin nature. You don't gossip, you don't malign, you don't judge, you simply pray that he will come to his senses, rebound to get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and his spiritual life. And then we have the conjunction chi, which is a connective chi, and then the verb didomi. Didomi. D-I-D long O-M-I. Didomi. Now, didomi means to give. It means to give something to someone. The subject of the verb is the third person singular subject, he, and he is God the Father. all of our prayers, precisely correct procedure, all of our prayers are offered to God the Father. The future tense is the predictive future. The predictive future makes a simple statement that something will come to pass. The active voice, God the Father, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood, declarative, this is a dogmatic truth of the Scriptures. And what will God the Father give when you pray for this believer? He will give Zoe, not Thanatos, but Zoe, Z-long-O-long-E, life. Not Thanatos, not death, but life, temporal life. He will live. He won't die the sin unto death. And then the dative of autos, to him. And then we have the articular present active participle of hamartano, to sin. And the articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun and is correctly translated to those who commit sin, to the ones who commit sin. And once again, these sins are described as me prosthanatos, that is, not terminating in the sin unto death. So, now, corrected translation. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him. That is, to those who commit sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death. This is a great verse, and it's a part of our prayer paragraph, verses 14 to 16. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him, that is, to those who commit sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death. But now we have a however. Here's the limitation of your prayers. This is where you don't pray. It won't do you any good for this next phrase. However, there is a sin unto death. This is the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi, plus the nominative singular of hamartia, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative singular of thanatos. Eimi is the to be verb. You translate that there is, and then hamartia. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A, hamartia, that's the Greek word for sin, here refers to the principle of sin. This is the principle of the status of sin. Rather, this is not a specific sin. This is that status of living in Satan's cosmic system. This is that status of living your life in Satan's cosmic system. You're living by the lust patterns of your sin nature. You're not filled with the Spirit. You're not living the spiritual life. Every time your sin nature sends up a temptation from the lust patterns, you say yes to it. And away you go. And you're in Satan's cosmic system. So this is that status of continued residence in Satan's cosmic system. So a principle, the sin unto death is not, it's not a single sin, it's not a specific sin. The sin unto death is not a single sin, it's not a specific sin, rather, it is the status of continued living in the cosmic system, continued to live your life by the lust patterns of your sin nature in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So the principle is the sin unto death. It's not a single sin. It's not a specific sin. Rather, it is the status of continued living in Satan's cosmic system. Continued to live your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then we have prosthanatos, which is literally face to face with death. That's literally what it says, face to face with death. This is an idiom, again, that means terminating in death, terminating in the sin unto death. Maximum divine discipline, dying discipline. So we have, if anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in death, the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him, that is, to those who commit sin not terminating in the sin unto death. However, there is a sin terminating in death, maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. And then John says, I do not say that he shall pray for that. We have the objective negative U plus the present active indicative of lego plus hina with the aorist active subjunctive of erotao plus the prepositional phrase peri with the genitive singular of the demonstrative pronoun ekenos. Okay. We have lego. And it's not the Legos that you have at your house. See? Lego. One, generally, this verb means to say, to tell, to give expression to orally. That's its general meaning. Two, specifically, Lego can mean to order, to command, to direct, or to recommend. Specifically, lego can mean to order, to command, to direct, to recommend. Point three, the Greek lexicon, Arndt and Gingrich, page 470, tells us that in our verse, 1 John 5:16, lego means to recommend. To recommend. Four, with the objective negative U, it is correctly translated, I do not recommend. And then we have hina plus the subjunctive of erotao. And erotao is another verb for prayer. To ask in prayer or to pray. Hina plus a subjunctive with erotao that is that anyone should pray. And then the preposition peri with the genitive of the demonstrative pronoun ekenos. About that. I do not recommend that anyone should pray about that. So there here is a limitation. Here is a limitation on your prayers, intercessory prayer. Verse 16 now. This is a very, very important verse, and it's a part of the paragraph, verses 14 to 16. Very important prayer, paragraph on prayer. If anyone has seen his fellow believer committing a sin, not terminating in the sin unto death, he shall ask in prayer, and he, God the Father, will give life to him. That is, to those who commit sin not terminating in death, the sin unto death. However, there is a sin terminating in death, maximum divine discipline, dying discipline, the sin unto death. And I do not recommend that anyone should pray about that. This is a very important verse. It goes right along with verses 14 through 16. All right? One. The prayer of a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. James 5, 16 through 18. The great illustration of that was Elijah. So James 5, 16 to 18, the prayer of a spiritually mature believer, the grace righteous believer, is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. Two, as a result of virtue love brought to completion in his heart, the winner believer has great intercessory prayer for his fellow believer. As a result of virtue love brought to completion in his heart, the winner believer has great intercessory prayer for his fellow believer. Three, the winner believer's impersonal love for all results in great intercessory prayer. Results in great intercessory prayer. The winner believer's impersonal love for all results in great intercessory prayer. Four, but 1 John 5:16 declares that even intercessory prayer has certain limitations. 1 John 5:16 declares that even intercessory prayer has certain limitations. Especially for that believer that God is administering dying discipline, the sin unto death. But 1 John 5:16 declares that even intercessory prayer has certain limitations, especially for that believer that God is administering dying discipline, the sin unto death. Five. If God is going to take a believer out of this life, you're just making too much of a mess down here on planet Earth. So the Father, he warns you, warning discipline. He gives you intensified discipline, but you keep on keeping on keeping on, and you pass the point of no return. You run out of options, and God gives you dying discipline. So this verse is very important. Even intercessory prayer has certain limitations, especially for that believer that God is administering divine dying discipline, the sin unto death. Five, if God is going to take a believer out of this life with maximum divine discipline, all the prayer in the world will not help. If God is going to take a believer out of this life with maximum divine discipline, all the prayer in the world will not help. You You see, if you pray for something which is not in the plan of God, if you pray for something that is not in the will of God, that prayer will not be answered. Even if you are in fellowship with God, even if you are filled with the Spirit, even if you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, if you pray for something that is not in the will of God, that prayer will not be answered. 6. You cannot pray for something that is contrary to the will of God. You cannot pray for something that is contrary to the will of God. You cannot offer a prayer that is against the will of God and receive a positive answer. 7. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And a part of the will of God and prayer is given in 1 John 5:16. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God, and a part of the will of God and prayer is given in this verse, 1 John 5:16. Eight. Prayer cannot reverse the administration of the sin terminating in death, the sin unto death, because this involves the sovereignty of God. God's the quarterback. God calls the plays. Every decision you make as a believer is either a good decision or a bad decision. If you make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, this will result in greater and greater options for greater decisions. However, if you make bad decisions to live your life by the lust patterns of your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, this will result in you running out of options, terminating in death, the sin unto death. All right, now this is a fantastic paragraph on prayer. And in this paragraph, you have a phenomenal promise in 1 John 5:13 and 14. And then in verse 16, you have a limitation on the effectiveness of intercessory prayer. You have the will of God revealed. There is a prayer that will not be answered. Very important, very important passage. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.